I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Psalms 34:1-6. Good morning, friends. It is certainly a privilege to be coming your way again. Do you like that scripture? I do. As we draw near to the end of another year, we can surely say the Lord has been our helper. The days which are past we cannot recall, be they happy ones or otherwise. I'm sure some of them we would not like to relive. The important question now is, what are we doing with this day? This poem says, "Today is mine. Yesterday now is a part of forever, bound up in a sheaf which God holds tight. With glad days and sad days and bad days, which never shall visit us more with their bloom and their blight, their fullness of sunshine or sorrowful night. Let them go, since we cannot retrieve them, cannot undo and cannot atone. God in his mercy receive, forgive them. Only the new days are our own. Today is ours, and today alone." Selected. I'd like to present a question to you, which a certain lawyer once asked of Jesus. Listen. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" Luke 10:29. That reminds me of the question Cain asked of God. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Genesis 4:9. Isn't it strange, the unconcern that folks have for others in these days? Some people act as if the world was created for them and for them alone. But friend, this is not the case. The world was put here for all people. There are no favorites with God. Neither is there any respecter of persons with him. He loves one just the same as another. But back to this thought of our neighbor. Do you remember how Jesus pointed out to this lawyer who was his neighbor? He told of the man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. They robbed and beat him, stripped him of his clothes, and left him half dead. Then there was a priest who came by, saw him, but passed by on the other side. He wanted nothing to do with this fellow who lay there by the side of the road. I wonder what thoughts passed through his mind as he saw him, at least momentarily. Do you reckon he was in such a hurry that he did not have time? Maybe he was thinking of his duties awaiting him ahead someplace. One has said, "Whoever is in a hurry shows that the thing that he is about is too big for him." There may be some truth in that. To be courteous doesn't really take much time. But it does take a little. He who would be courteous must not be in such haste that he cannot be sympathetic, nor so absorbed that he cannot be considerate of others. Well, these may not be the reasons at all. The priest did not render assistance. He may have had others which seemed better. But then there was the Levite who came along. At least he stopped and looked at the suffering man. He was probably convicted of his duty to help him. I wonder if he did not secretly wish he had not come that way but had taken another way. In that way he would not have known what had happened. I suppose he persuaded himself that the case was no concern of his, and he too passed by on the other side. But these two men were not the only ones traveling that road that day. And well it was for the poor man who had been beaten that a Samaritan came by. This Samaritan saw the sufferer, and he did the work that the others had refused to do. With gentleness and kindness he ministered to the wounded man. The 33rd verse says, "When he saw him, he had compassion on him." The scripture goes on to tell how this good Samaritan bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. and took care of him. But then on the next day, he even went farther than this. He said to the innkeeper, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee." Friends, if you have trouble deciding who your neighbor is, just remember that it is the one who is in need. And I'm sure if you look very far, you will be able to find someone in need. Isn't that a good policy to begin the new year with? I fear many today are making a mistake. They separate their duties into two distinct classes. The one class is made up of great things, to be regulated by the law of God. The other class is made up of so-called little things, in which the command, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," is sometimes ignored. This part of their life is left to chance, or perhaps notions of their own. There are those who would think it lowering to their dignity to minister to suffering humanity. Many look with indifference and contempt upon those men who have laid the temple of their soul in ruins. Then some people are so busy building up a worthy enterprise that they have little time to notice the wants of the needy and distressed. The mere profession of religion is abounding in the world today, but it has little weight. We may claim to be followers of Christ. We may claim to believe every truth in the Word of God. But this will do our neighbor little or no good unless our belief is carried over into our daily lives. Our mere profession may be as high as heaven, but it will save neither ourselves nor our fellow men unless we're genuinely born again children of God and put it into practice. A right example will do more to benefit the world than all our profession. Remember, love is the basis of godliness. Whatever the profession, no man has pure love to God unless he has love for his brother. What is needed is the love of Christ in the heart. It is not possible for the heart in which Christ abides to be destitute of love. If we love God because he first loved us, we shall love all for whom Christ died. Then the pity and compassion of Christ will be manifest in our lives. We shall not need to be entreated to feel for the woes of others. It will be as natural for us to minister to the needy and suffering as it was for Christ to go about doing good. The glory of heaven is in lifting up the fallen, comforting the distressed. And wherever Christ abides in human hearts, he will be revealed in the same way. No distinction on account of nationality or race is recognized by God. He is the maker of all mankind. All men are of one family by creation, and all are one through redemption. Christ came to demolish every wall of partition who would separate people from him, to throw open every compartment of the temple that every soul may have free access to God. His love is so broad, so deep, so full that it penetrates everywhere. It lifts out of Satan's circle the poor souls who have been deluded by his deceptions. It places them within reach of the throne of God. Friends, have you found this well of everlasting water springing up within your heart? Let us pray. Our Father, bless the listeners of the broadcast wherever they may hear the sound of the good news. There are those in their homes or cars who need a touch of the Master's hand. For those in trouble or sick, we especially pray thy blessings may be near. Give us all grace to live this new year, which is dawning, in a way that will bring no regrets, and thine shall be the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, if we may be a help to you in some spiritual way, be sure to let us know. You may write us in this way, The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And now, here is a thought worth pondering. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deed that you do, by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Here is a song, Where Could I Go? The singers are Bob and Doyle Forbes, Randall Flynn, Melvin Doolittle, and Dale Doolittle.
Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them every one. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grass.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying may God's richest blessings be with each of you and a very cheerful goodbye.
Yet when I face the chilling end of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me.